Hey everybody, what's up?
Chad and Max here. Beers with Chad, or sparkling water and beers with Chad. I'm drinking New Blazer, Day Blazer by New Belgium. It's been hot in California, so this is a nice summer treat.
That was refreshing.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So we're here to talk weight classes, new weightlifting weight classes. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen them all around the...
Yeah, have you heard?
Yeah. I've seen them all over Instagram, Facebook, whatever. So we just kind of want to give you some thoughts on it, how it's going to impact the sport of weightlifting for the next 2 years to 2020, until they probably change them again. Or
change the sport or get rid of it from the Olympics.
Yeah.
Something.
But for at least a little bit, these will be the weight classes that we're dealing with. So if you haven't seen them, on the men's side, so both sides have 10 weight classes for regular international competition, like the World Championships, but only 7 classes will be contested at the Olympics. So on the men's side, the 10 categories are 55, 61, 67, 73, 81, 89, 96, 102, 109, and then plus 109. In the Olympics, they'll be cutting out the 55 kilo class, they'll be cutting out the 89 kilo class, and then they'll be cutting out the 102 kilo class. So that's then they'll be left with those other 7 classes. On the women's side, 45, 49, 55, 59, 64, 71, 76, 81, 87, and plus, over 87. And then for the Olympics, they're going to cut out the 45s, and they're going to cut out the 71s, and cut out the 81s. So you'll be left with 49, 55, 59, 64, 76, 87, and plus 87. So Max, what was your kind of first impression seeing these numbers?
I think from a standpoint of the 10 classes, they're sort of okay on the men's side, I think. I think in general, they're obviously they have a compromise within, they don't want to repeat classes. Well, they sort of don't, because 67 and a half used to be a class. But the goal was, I think, to not repeat classes from the past and to, give a new number that they were like expunge the records with. It's not bad. I think I would have liked in the 10 men's classes to have seen like a 116, a 115. That would have been kind of nice. The other ones are okay. I mean, there's nothing like within the 10 that's like super terrible, you know, some huge jump or awkward numbers there.
Yeah, but both of them, I think, seem to skew a little bit light.
Yes.
From what I would have expected.
Yeah.
And maybe this is an American bias, you know, being a fat American, that I would have figured there would have been a little bit more on the heavy side of things. But for the men's side, yeah, I was expecting something at least in the one teens.
Yeah, well, to me it doesn't make sense too, because now they can remove a class for the Olympics. And in the past, the general consensus was don't have a 115 class because, or a 120 class, because that guy who wins that class might beat the supers total. Yuri Zakharyevich as a 110 in 1988, you know, if he had made one more clean and jerk, he would have had a higher total than the supers. So there was always this sort of like, we don't want that to happen, but you could have removed that class. So it would have been cool to see a 120, 125 class with some really solid draw from the Western countries, you know, from us, especially the US, but also, you know, you might have just had more bigger people in there, would have been kind of cool. On the women's side, I think the same thing happened. It's skewed. The first glaring thing that sticks out on the women's side is a 45 kilo class.
Yeah, this is a throwaway class.
Yeah,
like,
it's just, it's going to be dead. I'm sure there's 45 kilo women, but it's going to be like the Chinese.
There's 45 kilo girls.
Yeah.
Like,
China will just sign a lease on 45 kilo class for the next 20 years. That's too low, super low. I don't know any people that are competing near that 45 class or near that range that are going to go there. Obviously, there's people that weigh 45 kilos, you know, and when they get out of eighth grade, then they'll compete. But, you know, the other numbers, they're pretty decent. 49, 55, 59, 64. Those are all basically what we have already. They just change the number. It's a kilo more, 2 kilos more. It's not like a huge shift. The same people in the same classes, I'm guessing, are going to end up there. 71, 76, 81. To me, that's, I would have kind of liked to see it shift a little different to where maybe there was like a little bit higher in the 60s, a little bit higher in the low 70s.
Yeah.
Like a 67, and then like a 73 or 72.
And just based on the way that humans, you know, weight is distributed.
Yeah.
Like across the world, it seems like biasing, this is biased a little bit towards the low end of things, and your already deepest, most competitive classes, which were like 63, 69, 75, that those should have gotten split up a little bit more. And, you know, when we start talking about what stays in the Olympics, that's just not happening at all.
Yeah.
In fact, they're getting consolidated into fewer classes.
Yeah, I would be curious to see what a distribution, like a standard distribution of human body weights are,
mm-hmm.
and see, I mean, this is no way this is accurate or mimics that curve, because we know that people are getting heavier and heavier and bigger, simply from, you know, improved nutrition and whatnot. There's just got to be a shift in the opposite direction. So it does seem like a really weird, I wonder where they got the information. Because this was different than what came out a few days ago.
Yeah.
And a few days ago, they said that was based off of statistical data.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not privy to the process of,
sure.
of creating these. You know, we've had our own little predictions, which the one we saw before these official numbers, I was nailing them.
Yeah.
On so my expectations on the women's side, we probably put more, you know, thought into the women's side of things because we have more high-level female lifters on the team. I was expecting 47, 51, mm-hmm. 55, 59. So not too far off there. I mean, 55 and 59 are correct, but to have two classes under 50 kilos, it just seems really surprising because, the 45s is going to be, it's just a total throwaway class. Yeah. Like
so low.
It's so low, and then it not being in the Olympics, no one is going to go into it. Like, why would someone subject themselves to cutting to 45 kilos when they can't even have a chance at the Olympics for it? So that was frustrating. So as we start talking about, you know, what's actually going to be in the Olympics, I think that's where some tough decisions are going to have to be made by people. Because, you know, from a practical standpoint, let's just forget that 45 kilos class exists. All the 48s become 49s. All the 53s become 55s. All the 58s became 59s. All the 63s became 64s.
Yeah.
All the 69s became 71s. All the 75s are 76s. Yeah, maybe a couple 75s who are having to cut hard, they go to 81. The 90s are now 87s, and then supers are supers. But when you get into the Olympic situation, you know, with cutting out the 71 kilo class for American lifting, that's where things are gonna get pretty tricky, because in that 69 kilo class you have Maddie Rogers, you have Kate Vibert, you have Meredith Alwine, and in the 75 kilo class you have Jenny Arthur, Kiana Welch, Talar Stallings,
Sakacia
Johnson, you know, really, really good lifters, people who, you know, are winning nationals, breaking American records, having gone to the Olympics, winning international medals. And, you know, all those 69 kilo girls, Maddie, Alwine, and Vibert, all definitely have Olympic aspirations for 2020.
Yeah.
They're not going to lift in the 71 kilo class, you know, a dead class. And all of these non-Olympic classes what are people going to do with those? Like, you know, world championships are great, but they don't call it world championship style weightlifting. It's Olympic style weightlifting. You know, people are doing this to try and go to the Olympics.
I think there's something kind of awkward about this because you've got, let's say, well, you end up having the problem of, sure, you could compete at 71 for a few years, then move up. But in that situation, if the 69s all go to 71 and compete there, they prevent themselves from really being a full 76, which means that you're probably like 78 or 79 kilos in training and then cutting down. Because you have to maximize your results. You have to maximize your abilities. If you're not maximizing your ability there, then you're leaving something on the table. So the 71 class nationally, the forecast, in my opinion, is going to be 71 is just a dead class. Where, not to say that people that go there and win nationals aren't, you know, doing a good job, but it's not a class that's participated in by the top lifters. There's a pool of people that have a shot at going to the Olympics. They're most likely going to avoid the 71, and then the 81. The 81 class just seems almost like this absurdity, because between 76 and 87 plus, there's not even enough people to fill those classes and make competitive sessions at U.S. Nationals. And U.S. Nationals, I would think that's where we would have, you know, across the world would be one of the biggest concentration of those type of people, because there's a lot of girls that, there's not a lot of sports for those girls, you know, that are pursuing sports outside of college and whatnot, where they're going to come in and, you know, you're a gymnast, but now you grew up and you're 5'7" and you're, you know, 85 kilos or whatever, or you're, you know, there's a big talent pool of that in the U.S. that could fill that, and it's not. So what does that look like in the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think, you know, before the numbers were released, I made the statement that probably 95% of the best female lifters in the world, their normal walking around body weight was somewhere between 48 and 80 or 81.
Yeah.
And that's where the bulk of the classes needed to be. I mean, we were at Worlds last year, the 90 kilo class. Yes, it's brand new, but it was not competitive. It was marginally higher numbers than the 75s.
Yeah.
And that's been the case. The 75s in the U.S. is arguably the most competitive class.
Yeah.
And the 90s just isn't. So to have, you know, two classes in that serving that group is,
you know, the reality is, actually, if you look at it, how many of the 76 girls should go up to 87? And get themselves up to 82 kilos, because the reality is 87 may be the easiest ticket to the Olympics. I mean, so now you've got the question of, do the 69s all, I mean, it's one thing to go from 72 to 69, or, you know, 671 and cut to 69. It's another to go from weighing 71 or 2 kilos and putting on enough body weight to maximize the 76s. You know what I mean? Like, if you're any of the top 69s, now you got to gain, could be a solid 7 kilos, 6 kilos maybe.
Yeah.
In that case, that could be a tall order that just doesn't pan out, because, you know, that much extra body weight may not actually, you know, be conducive. And in the really, what do we say? There's about 22 months left?
Yeah, 22 months to the 2020 Olympic trials.
Right. So it's definitely a...
Yeah, I think including the 87s was the wrong decision. It should have gone 71, 76, 76 plus, or 71, 81, 81 plus. But to have this huge gap from 64 to 76 takes the 69 kilo class, arguably the most competitive class in all women's weightlifting. Like, it's... When you it's in the center of the classes, that's where the most people are going to be.
Yeah.
Like, 63s and 69s for women have been the most competitive. You know, 77, 85, 94 for men, those kind of middle, a little bit above middle weight classes are the most competitive ones. So I think that was an error, but it will be interesting. I mean, former 69 and 75 kilo class U.S. lifters, get ready for the two most competitive lifting years of your life.
Yeah.
That, you know, looking at the people who are in those classes, coming from the 69s, Maddie Rogers, Kate Vibert, Meredith Alwine, in the 75s, Jenny Arthur, Kiana Welch, you know, Sakacia Johnson, Talar Stallings, I think I'm missing that. Another 75. I mean,
there's a bunch in that, in the running, right?
Yeah.
Next to that.
I mean, Alex lifted great at Nationals this year. Alex and Chance, she's going to lift as a 71 for the most part. But there's going to be seven or eight girls snatching over 100 kilos.
Oh, easily.
In the 76s at US meets. Like, 220 totals are going to get fifth, sixth place.
Oh, yeah, maybe even worse.
Yeah. And it's going to be 245, kind of numbers, because the next 2 years are only going to get more competitive. People are only going to be more focused as the Olympics get closer and closer. So, I do think that was an error. Yeah, maybe one day the IWF will say, this is why we picked it this way. I highly doubt that ever happens, but
10 darts and all the numbers on the dartboard, and Tom Sion used all five of his thumbs. His eyes closed and just hurled them.
He put his forehead on a bat and spun in 10 circles.
It was a barbell. It was an Alico curl bar.
Chugged two beers and then threw some blindfolded darts. But and the entire rationale of 10 classes and 7 classes, I don't know what the point of that is.
It was already thin enough in some places. Why not just have 7 and 7?
Yeah, and I get. Yeah, we understand that the Olympics are limiting the number of lifters, the number of weightlifting participants because of the retroactive drug tests, but that doesn't mean that you have to have more. And maybe it's just for a participation thing that they're trying to get more people involved in weightlifting, and I can understand that, and it's viable, but 10 weight class nationals, 10 weight class AO series, I mean, we're going to be in Vegas in September for AO3, the first meet. The first national level meet that's going to have all 10 weight classes. They're talking about 1,200 to 1,400 lifters.
The meet goes from September 12th to October 5th.
There's 17 platforms. And the USAW staff is going to have PTSD after the meet
from
running this thing. Yeah. It is what it is. From the regular meets, people are generally unaffected. Those with serious Olympic aspirations, particularly former 69 kilo class lifters, have some hard decisions and some hard work in front of them to get their body weight up or down more. But
that whole crew, that whole clump of all our best, right in that mix, are going to have to. Now, we were talking about this earlier. Now is the time. These next 22 months, it really comes down to the person or people that excel at every other thing that gives them an advantage over the rest of the crowd. Because everybody in that group is good. They're all very good lifters. They're all very capable, experienced, have potential to improve. And everyone has their own unique situation. Some of the girls are very young, so they're on this really big momentum and upswing. Some of the girls are veterans and have incredible amounts of competition history underneath their belts. So I think it's going to come down to the people that find that make the decision and make the commitment and live that for the next 22 months going into trials. They're going to be the ones that come out on top of that group.
So moving over to the men's side, again, nothing shocking in the 10 category side of things, but in the Olympics and the Olympic weight classes, 61, 67, 73, 81, 96, 109, and super over 109. So the big surprise here is cutting out this 89 kilo class.
Yeah.
And several times, over the last couple of years, as these retroactive drug tests came out and they seemed to be so highly concentrated in the 94 kilo class, and guys down to, 11th place lifter. I thought he ended up bronze.
Bronze, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so from Beijing or from London?
That's London, I believe. No, yeah, London, because it was Nordic.
Yeah, so from 2012 London Olympics, the 94 kilo class had so many retroactive positives that the guy who originally got 11th ended up in the bronze medal position. And the IWF had all this you know, chatter and bluster about how they were going to punish those 94 kilo class lifters and drop that class from the Olympics, that they were going to be punitive about that. And then they didn't do it. Like, the people who are 94 kilo class lifters are obviously all now going to be 96 kilo class.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense, because the 89 class is all going to be the former 85s.
Yeah.
That's the most obvious move. And then you give them the shaft.
Yeah, like, and if that's the decision that you were going to make, fine, but don't fucking pretend like you were going to punish the 94s, you know, with this being that you were going to be all punitive about them, you know, people who probably aren't even competing now failing drug tests. Like, it was pointless to begin with.
Yeah. Punishing the weight class is ridiculous.
Yeah, like there's nothing, you know, I don't think there's anything inherent about people that weigh 94 kilos that...
I will say there's a disproportionate number of scumbag 94 kilo human beings, so that's possible.
Yeah, but most of those lifters, 2008, 2012, who had those positive drug tests, they're done lifting. It's like these NCAA sanctions that come out when they have a recruiting violation, you know, from 6 years ago, and then the NCAA finds out about it and takes scholarships away from the current team, or, you know, bans them from postseason play. It's like, those guys aren't the ones who got you in trouble. So, you know, it was pointless to say in the first place that they were going to punish those 94 kilo class or, you know, the weight class. But if you say you're going to do it, at least fucking do it.
Yeah, that's
like,
so, yeah.
Because the 85 kilo lifters just got totally screwed. There's no, like, high-level world 85 lifter that I can imagine going down to 81.
No.
Because those great 85s, you know, Tian To, Kianush Rustami, Arlie Mendez, they're lifting at 85 and probably walking around 88 minimum, 88, 90, 92 even, you know, and now those guys need to go up to 96, which really means they need to weigh 100.
Yeah, there's none of them. I mean, I would love to see what Arlie looks like at 100 kilos.
Yeah.
It's just all muscles. But, I mean,
those are three of the most popular, talented lifters in the world. I mean, the 96 kilo class is going to be fucking insane.
Yeah.
But,
well, think about this. Did the IWF just shoot themselves, just literally shoot themselves in the foot and ruin this whole thing for everybody because they've forced a bunch of 85 kilo guys to now move to 96? And when in 8-10 years from now, when they do retroactive testing and the exact same scenario happens where you've got the top 10 dudes failing tests, because they all had to get up to a fucking 98 kilos to compete.
Yep.
Because now there's even more incentive to cheat because there's only so many classes. And there's no way you're going to drop down 4, 5, 6 kilograms and expect to lift really well when there's guys coming up from 77 to another. They got to go up to 81. Obviously, all these problems disappear after the next generation comes up because the next generation just goes into what they go into. This is the only time it really affects.
It will still affect that future generation because there's a 15 kilo gap in the middle, and some people, you know, are meant to weigh 87 or 88 kilos, and 81 means they're too skinny to lift their best.
I really wonder, because my experience with the Europeans, my short experience with the Europeans, is that they just don't give a shit about anything but the Olympics. Like, being a silver medalist at the World Championships is a loss. It's a failure. So going to the Olympics, getting, you know, is the goal. So how many of them are going to do what they have to do to their, you know, poison themselves with drugs and train till they're dead to win worlds 7 times in the 81 kilo class when what they really want is the Olympics? I just don't see any of these classes that get that don't have Olympic recognition being populated by a lot of lifters. Sure, there's going to be people, there's going to be world champions and good lifters in there, but not, there's just no way you can expect the top talent to want to participate in something that guarantees they have no chance at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think what's, I don't know the answer to, but what is worth discussing is the way that the new qualification system is, you know, for America, in this Robey points-based thing, which is somehow related to world records,
yeah,
which there are currently none of now in new weight classes. Are they going to establish standards, you know, to base people qualifying for the Olympics on mathematical standards that are created out of thin air? Seems not like the best thing to do. And then beyond that, if as the world records get broken, you know, the higher the world record is in a weight class, the harder those Robey points are going to be to come by. So the qualifying, you know, and those classes that are going to the Olympics are going to be more competitive.
Yeah.
So those world records are going to get pushed higher. But then, because world team and Pan Am team qualifying will also be based on Robey points, it will then be easier to make the world or Pan Am team in non-Olympic classes because they'll be less competitive.
True.
And their world records will likely be relatively lower than the Olympic classes. So the way that the U.S. does team selection based on Robey points, then are more non, it's going to favor non-Olympic class lifters. So
it's kind of like if you compete in the 81 class or the class on the Olympics, that you are collecting rent on Boardwalk with four hotels, you're making $15,000 a turn on Monopoly, but you've got a bunch of Monopoly money.
Yeah.
So it's worthless to you. It doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for the US things on the men's side, you know, I think the first questions that have to be asked is how does this affect Harrison Morris and CJ Cummings? And the 81 kilo class, you know, of all the top 85s in the world, of which Harrison is definitely one, the 81 kilo class may suit him the best.
Yeah.
You know, he was very recently a 77 kilo class lifter. I don't think it's unrealistic for him to lift very big numbers at 81. You know, the meets that he's done as an 85, I don't know.
He weighs like 81 or 82.
Yeah, I think that's just going to be a comfortable weight class for him. There's no way that in the next 22 months, Harrison Morris becomes a 96 kilo class lifter. And obviously has plans, you know, and aspirations of going to the Olympics, so he's not going to lift as an 89, at least not at meets that matter. CJ Cummings, you know, a former 69 kilo class lifter, say the 73s is probably the likely destination for him.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going down.
Yeah, I don't know what his weight cutting situation is, but when you're 16, 17 years old,
you shouldn't be cutting.
Yeah, you shouldn't be cutting weight hard, and you're just growing. He's just a growing young man.
Yeah,
so
he's not that tall. I was going to say he's a bean sprout, but he's probably hit close to the top height he's going to be.
Yeah, so I think 73s and 81s are the destination for those guys. You know, Wes Kitz will be in the 109s. That'll be nice for him to not have to cut those couple extra kilos.
Miss on those kilos.
Jordan Cantrell, you know, belly up to the table because you're probably wanting to push yourself up to 96.
That 96 and above class for us has for years has really never been as strong as it should have been, and for obvious reasons. You know, go to the UCLA weight room. That's where they all are. There's just not a huge population of guys with the tools to be great weightlifters there that are doing it. Obviously, you got Wes Kitz is good, and you've got other folks in there that are strong, but we've never been stacked in that class, those classes. And so it you know, that elimination of the 89 class where we would be pretty good, and we do have more guys down to that lower range, has made it like this shift where, okay, guys that are even close to, you know, 96 or above, probably gonna move up. I could possibly see Damron going, I don't think get that big, but I mean, he's probably staying at 96.
Yeah, I think 96 is a good class for Damron. he'd probably make, you know.
Oh, 96 is in it, right.
Yeah, he'll probably make a little bit closer to those big training lifts that he hits without having to cut quite as much weight. I'd be interested to see someone who tends to be a light 105, like a D'Angelo Osorio.
Oh, go down.
If he goes down to 96, where, you know, maybe 94 was a little bit out of reach because he needed to walk around 98, 99 to have a good shot to get there without it hurting his numbers too much. But being able to walk around at, you know, 100 to 102 and make, you know, manipulate your water and everything down to 96 might be a realistic thing for him. He would be the only one of the 105s that comes to mind that might consider doing that.
Would probably go up. I think all those guys. The reality, though, is that class, that 109 class, is just literally know who's, you know, his name. You know, his name rhymes with Bilya Bilin. But I mean, like, that class is dominated by the Eastern Europeans, and when all those nine countries, if some of them come back.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there? I thought that there was talk of Ilya going back down to 94.
I heard that too, and then I saw a video of him putting, you know, weighing on the scale like 102 or something. So. What if he accidentally goes to 102s and just doesn't realize, and he's like looking like, how do I qualify? And
he shows up to the Olympics and he's like, here, lift, guys, and then they're like, oh, there's no 102s here. Like, oh, the memes that Penn Glenwood made from that.
Meme accounts.
Yeah, we could have a whole separate episode dedicated to the proliferation of meme accounts, and they're doing the Lord's work, you know? but yeah, that's the new bioweights. Yeah, most lifters are relatively unaffected by this. They're gaining, you know, 1 to 2 kilos of body weight, and that's about it. A couple Olympic hopefuls. Again, that's gonna be tough. That's gonna be tough for them. You know, why put that big gap in the middle? Like, it's just not the right way to do it. It should have just gone, you know, the men's side, they should have cut 55s. And it should have been 96, 102, 102 plus.
Yeah.
But instead, they did it wrong. Shocking.
You know, yeah, I mean.
For a group that normally makes such sound
decisions. Never made a mistake that retroactively came to bite them in the ass.
They probably got on the phone with the IPF and were like, hey, you guys got any advice about how to screw things
how
up?
How can we fuck up our sport more? I will say, my advice to anyone who is not in the group that is very, very close to the Olympics, if you have to beat more than like 3 people to potentially be at the Olympics, this advice is for you. Just go to the class that's above the one you're in, go purchase yourself a very nice RP strength diet template, a bulking template, get bigger, go compete, and enjoy it, and you know, you're probably going to place a lot higher because some of those classes just aren't going to games and people aren't going to be there. And you can do yourself some favors and probably have a pretty good little career out of it.
Yeah, and for the other people, you know, American Open Series, I can't tell you how excited I am to watch, you know, the 67J session.
I can't wait to see the 45 kilo J session. What's that look like? 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds.
Yeah, the 45 kilo class is just going to be whoever can actually make weight as the national champion.
Come on, squirt. Go for it. A stiff wind blew her off the platform.
They're going to have to use the technique bars for that one.
Yeah, Aliko is just like Mr. Dr. Aliko is just, he is loving the cash that's coming in from those technique plates.
Yeah. So that's the new weight classes. This is Beers with Chad. Cheers. Bonus episode of The Jug Life. Go on iTunes. 5-star review. Funny, nice review. Write it. It's my birthday today, so you should be required by law to write a nice review. New videos on the YouTube at least 3 days a week. Jug Life on Tuesdays, Beers with Chad episodes come out audio on Friday. And good luck to everyone cutting or massing, and have fun lifting some weights.